And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by the Ford F-Series. He's Bucky Brooks. I am Daniel Jeremiah. This is one of our three Move the Sticks podcasts that we have
going.
3 week, Buck, but we got one video. This is the video podcast. So if you're listening to this right now, you can catch the video of this and see some of the highlights and breakdowns we'll have to go along with the commentary. And that Thursday show, the video show, which again, also on audio, you can find that NFL.com/MTS video. And that's where we call it home.
I mean, that's where we call it home. But I'm excited today because we're going to talk about a couple of unbeaten teams, the Atlanta Falcons and the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to drop some nuggets from my notebook. Namely, we're going to talk about the Washington Redskins defense. And we're going to talk about how teams can learn from the Tyreek Hill experiment.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill and how teams are using him. You've got some real fascinating stuff there, Buck. Also have Deshaun Watson breaking down his big start last week against New England and what we can expect from him in the upcoming week. And then we've got our college picks. But the real headliner here, Christian Kirk, one of the best players in college football, Texas A&M, very, very explosive wide receiver, coming off a big game. He's going to join us live on the show today.
I mean, it's a lot of stuff to get to. We need to get right into it.
All right, let's jump. We're going to jump right in now. We got two undefeated teams, 2-3-0. We talked about the Falcons and the Chiefs. I thought we'd kind of look at both these squads, their matchups, and how confident we are that they're going to remain undefeated after this week. Let's start with the Falcons, Buck, at home against the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I mean, this is a tough game because when you look at the Buffalo Bills, they have an offense that doesn't appear to have like a lot of showstoppers on the outside, not a lot of superstars. They have Shady McCoy and a quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, but really it runs through Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor is a dual threat playmaker guy who's very, very safe and efficient with the ball, does a great job of getting it to the playmakers that they do have, and he's not going to turn it over. Plus, he brings some of that improvisational ability on the outside. He can make plays with his legs to sustain drives, and when you pair him with LeSean McCoy, you really got to stop a very, very tough and versatile running game.
And this is a team very confident, coming off a big win against the Denver Broncos. Tyrod Taylor, you touched on him not turning the ball over. That's going to be key if the Bills have any shot in this one, protecting the football. And then on the other side, they're going to get some turnovers. And when you look at the Falcons last week, they were in a tight battle with Detroit. And one of the reasons, because you had some turnovers there from Matt Ryan. Now, you point at turnovers, and you can try and find fault in some of them. And, okay, it's not all on the quarterback. But the matter is, you turned it over. And if Buffalo can generate some of those turnovers, get Matt Ryan to flip the ball to them, they got a shot in this thing.
They absolutely have a shot because the Buffalo Bills defense is playing pretty good under Leslie Frazier. Sean McDermott has done a great job of kind of getting these guys to buy into more of a blue-collar mentality, a blue-collar work ethic when it comes to the way that they play. Their young quarterback, Tre'Davious White, is a guy that is going to be the AFC rookie, defensive rookie of the month. And so there are a lot of things going in their direction. But when you're the Atlanta Falcons, you have a high-powered offense. You have a new play caller in Steve Sarkisian. You're still trying to find your way. Trying to really learn how to use all the weapons, and the main weapon that they want to use, Julio Jones. Sarkisian talked in the offseason about really making sure that Julio Jones is a priority in the red zone. I think we will continue to see that going forward. Look for them to run the ball with Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, but eventually they're going to get to the play-action passing game because the big plays to Julio Jones typically come off those play-action passes.
All right, let's look at the confidence meter here, Buck. And confidence that the Falcons are going to remain undefeated after the Buffalo Bills leave town. Get 1 to 10. Give me your confidence meter.
Ooh, I'm going to go 9. I'm going to go 9. I mean, look, you got it at home. When they play at home, and I know it's still kind of breaking in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
But it's a pretty stadium.
It is very pretty. But I think it's a home field advantage. I think they're going to play well. I think we'll see them look like the Falcons this weekend.
All right. Chick-fil-A will not be open for this game, and neither will the Buffalo Bills receivers. I'm going to go 9.5 on my confidence meter.
All the way in.
Yeah, look, I would be shocked. If Buffalo can beat Denver last week, come back and go on the road and beat the Falcons, tip of the cap to the Bills. I just don't see that happening. All right, the Chiefs, also undefeated. They've got a tough one now. They've got the Washington Redskins coming to town. Redskins coming off a big win over Oakland. You look at this Redskins team, Buck. Man, the way Kirk Cousins played last week, especially getting Chris Thompson involved, this is a tough matchup for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup because when you look at the identity of the Washington Redskins, I think they finally found it. Look, last year they had DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon. More of the balls went out wide, outside the numbers, really featured the wide receivers. Now they have Chris Thompson, they have Vernon Davis because Jordan Reed wasn't available, and Jamison Crowder. They really worked the inside part of the field, really got it to those guys because that's where the favorable matchups are. I think Kirk Cousins has done a great job of evolving his game to make sure that he can take advantage of the weapons that they have.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. Kirk's done a nice job. And then, look, sprinkle it in down the field to Josh Doctson. Just one catch last week, but he made it count. So if big they can catch. Pay off some of this underneath passing, some of this physical rushing attack with a really underrated offensive line, then take a couple shots down the field. But to me, the story in that Raiders game, you flip over to the other side of the ball, that Redskins defense.
Man, Redskins defense played lights out. My former teammate Greg Minuski is their new defensive coordinator. He has talked about they wanted to beat the crap out of people. They want to physically beat you up. But then in the back end, they want to play with vision on the quarterback. And in looking at the tape of this game against the Oakland Raiders, they dominated the line of scrimmage up front. They were able to get a four-man rush. Jim Tom Sula has done a really good job of getting this D-line going. And then in the back end, they played a lot of zone, mixed in some man-to-man, kind of squatted on those routes because they didn't think Crabtree and Amari Cooper could run past them. But they didn't have to blitz. Only blitzed on 8% of their defensive snaps that game. Coming into that game, they had blitzed 44% of the time. They felt like they had a favorable matchup up front. And because they could win with four, they were able to leave seven in coverage and really make it tough for Derek Carr.
You want some more of that analysis, Bucky's got you covered in this Scouts Notebook this week. NFL.com/Scouts Notebook. A couple gems in there, including some more stuff on that Redskins defense, Buck. We flip it over to the Chiefs defensively. How big is it for them to have Justin Houston back? Got home on some pressure last week on some twists and some stunts. But, man, just having him healthy, I know you have the injuries in the back end, but, man, up front, they're as good as anybody.
Absolutely. And the front end will make the back end better because pressure, disrupting the timing and rhythm of the quarterback's cadence in the pocket, it affects the way the ball comes out and allows your guys in the back end to not have to cover as long. That is what the Kansas City Chiefs are able to do. They can throw a bunch of different things at you. They got a bunch of fastballs. You have Justin Houston. You have D Ford. You have other guys who can rush the passer. And then in the back end, Marcus Peters is still emerging, but he may already be the best corner in football. Great job with his hands. And the other guy on the other side, Terrence Mitchell, 2 interceptions against the Chargers. He's being able to hold down his part of the field. That allows the Chiefs to be very, very aggressive in coverage.
And they're also in a big play offense because you've got two guys, Tyreek Hill, who we knew with his explosiveness, Kareem Hunt, not just pounding the ball inside, Buck, not catching the ball in the backfield, hitting home runs, a big kind of a walk-off against the Chargers with that long run last week.
I'm beginning to think that maybe I was a little too low in my assessment of Kareem Hunt.
I think everybody was.
Not only during his season at Toledo, but watching him at the Senior Bowl, I thought he was a good player, and I think maybe I gave him a third-round grade, which is where he went, but I didn't know that he could come out the gates and be this kind of impact player. When you look at this Kansas City Chiefs team with Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, you have Alex Smith playing in his comfort zone in an offense that is really catered to him. This offense is terrific, and they have a complimentary defense that gives them a chance. They may be, and it's going to sound crazy, they may be the best team in the AFC.
Well, but why don't you expand it?
I mean, they may be the best team because when I look at them compared to the New England Patriots, and I know they squared off in week one, and we were kind of surprised at the result. But when you look at the balance, I don't know what their glaring weakness is because now that Alex Smith is pushing the ball down the field, they can run it, they can throw efficiently short, they can push it down the field to get big plays. On defense, they can hunt the quarterback without blitzing. They have cover guys behind them. I don't know if they have a weakness because when you factor in the kicking game, they also deliver explosive plays in that phase. Where's the weakness for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Ah, that's a fair point. So then that leads me to my next question, that confidence meter. They got the Redskins coming to town. Your confidence that the Chiefs end up 3-0 at the end of this weekend. 1-10, what you got?
I got an 8. So I think they go. I like the Washington Redskins. I like the way they're playing, and I like what they're doing defensively. I just believe the deception, the trickery, the smoke and mirrors, they find a way to create big plays. I think they find a way to create a couple big plays. Look for them to maybe take advantage of Josh Norman being a little – nosy back there.
I guess this is the fourth week of the season, so it actually make them 4-0, not 3-0. I'm going to put it as 6. I'm maybe not as confident as you. I think they win the game, but I think the Washington Redskins, if they do what they did last week, control the ball offensively, dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides, this is going to be a really competitive football game. I think it's a close game. I still lean towards the Chiefs, but maybe not as confident as you are here,
I mean,
Buck.
Yeah, 6. Come on, DJ. 6.
Just a 6. I mean, look, almost, it's better than
it's almost like getting a C for showing up in class.
Hey,
like.
C's get degrees. let's go to something else you talked about. I teased it a little earlier, Scout's Notebook. One of the topics you had, talking about Tyreek Hill of the Chiefs and how maybe that's a formula we can see other teams try and copy.
I mean, when you go back and look at Tyreek Hill, you look at the draft, fifth round pick. He was a guy that bounced around from Oklahoma State. He had a heinous.
Well, I mean, he got in trouble. That's why he would have been picked higher than the
fifth
round.
Absolutely. His track star holds the school records in the 60 and the 200 at Oklahoma State. So he's a big time player. He was a running back who has made the transition to being a wide receiver. When I look at this young class of running backs, guys that are these hybrids that we talk about, the Christian McCaffreys, the Tariq Cohens, the Alvin Kamaras, these are guys that can impact the game, not only running the ball inside and outside, but in the passing game. When I look at what the Kansas City Chiefs have been able to do with Tyreek Hill, they have been very, very creative in how they deploy him. Sometimes they put him outside. Sometimes they put him in the backfield. I believe for those three guys and the way their teams are constructed, they need to get more playmaking, more scoring potential out of their offense. I think these guys can take some of the plays that Kansas City is using and really make them catered in specific to McCaffrey, Cohen, and also Kamara to get big plays for them.
Well, let's look at these individual here. With McCaffrey, you've got a quarterback in Cam Newton who's been scuffling a little bit. So he got him the ball a bunch last week. Continue to use him in different ways. Get those easy completions. Not only are it's an efficient offense, it gets the confidence going a little bit for your quarterback. Take some pressure off him. Those are easy completions, and McCaffrey can give you something after the catch. I like to see a little bit more from him after the catch than what we've seen thus far. Then go to the next one with Tariq Cohen. Quarterback situation, again, stay right there. Mike Glennon, give him some easy throws, give him some confidence, get him rolling. So it makes sense with those first two guys, no question.
And they don't have a receiver. So if you don't have a receiver, your two best players are Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. You have to find a way to keep both of those guys on the field at the same time. And in Cohen, you have a guy that can line up outside in the slot, play wide, catch the ball, run some routes, and make plays. So I think it makes sense to find a way to feature Cohen as a wide receiver / running back.
And then you go to Alvin Kamara, or the last one.
They got to get him on the field.
Well, this is you know, look at how they used Darren Sproles successfully for so long with Drew Brees in that offense. So the formula is there for them. They don't even need to go to Tyreek Hill. They can just go what they used to do with Darren Sproles.
Absolutely. Isolate him, put him on the outside. We saw him make a big play against the Carolina Panthers running the ball. We've seen him catch the ball out the backfield, deliver these explosive plays. He needs to be on the field more. And if that comes at the expense of Adrian Peterson, I think you have to do it, because this is a big play league. Explosive chunk plays matter. You have to find a way to put your best players in position to make those plays.
All right, again, that's another little nugget from your notebook, NFL.com/scouts notebook. That's every week for Bucky's insight there. Good stuff, Buck. Let's go to a poll question.
Ooh, I like polls.
We've put out a little poll question for you. Which franchise is most likely to bounce back after a disappointing Week 3 loss? You see the results here. It was Denver, Oakland, Seattle, or Pittsburgh.
Ooh,
and the fans have said the Raiders, 38% to the Seahawks, 22%. Steelers 22, Broncos 18%. So a lot of confident Raider folks out there.
And they're confident against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, that's not –
it's not a layup.
Let's break down this game a little bit. By the way, over 3,000 fans voted in that, so nicely done. To me, when I look at this football game, Buck, I start with the Broncos' run defense. And when you look at what they've done thus far this season, you see a board of it right here and who they've been able to shut down. I mean, they're first in every category. I mean, they're not getting – nobody's running the ball. 2.7 yards. It's ridiculous. 2.6 yards, I should say. Shut down Melvin Gordon. They've shut down Zeke Elliott. They've shut down Shady McCoy.
I mean, they're going to make it tough. So what they're going to do, their intent is to take Marshawn Lynch away and put the game on Derek Carr. And the reason they want to put it on Derek Carr is because – you now get the opportunity to unleash Von Miller and his crew, and they get to come after the quarterback. And you have to feel good about your matchups on the outside with the no-fly zone taking on Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. Those guys couldn't get off against the Washington Redskins, and the Washington Redskins don't have necessarily the talent that the Broncos have in the back end. So, yes, if they can stop the run on early downs and force Derek Carr into long situations, I think this could be a long day for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, look, they got to protect better. Derek Carr got hit early in this game. You saw that's his first pass play of the game that was picked off. Never was comfortable. The running game was eliminated, and I think when you look at this Broncos team, they're going to take away Marshawn Lynch in that run game. It's going to come down to Derek Carr. He's going to have to play better. The guys in front of him are going to have to play better as well.
Yeah, and Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, they have to separate. Their biggest issue has been when people have walked up and really played man-to-man on those guys. They can't consistently get open. Sometimes it may require the coaching staff to come up with some rub routes, some stack formations, some bunches to try and create space. But against the Denver Broncos, they're not going to give you those free yardage. They're not going to give you easy access to your routes. So these guys are going to have to work and win on the outside.
All right. That's a game I believe we cover in the NFL Pick'em Show on Saturday morning. Right. You can check that out. 9 a.m. behind the glass. Is that what time we're going, NFL Pick'em Show?
Yep, 9 a.m. And it airs four times. So there's a bunch of chances for you to watch that. that show.
Yeah, NFL Pick'em. So we'll break that game down a little bit further. Not going to spoil it with our picks. You have to hang around for that one. All right, let's go through this rookie leaderboard. This is something we do every week on the show. Trying to take a glimpse here of who's doing what from this rookie class. And we start here with the rookie rushing leaders and ho-hum. No surprise here, Bucky. It's been the same name at the very top of this list throughout the season.
I mean, the way to come out with a bang, when you come out like he came out that first week, and then he's been able to sustain it. You're talking about three touchdowns over 50-plus yards. He's had one in each game, and then his ability to run. But there are also some notable names there. Dalvin Cook, who we thought in the draft was going to be a special player. Leonard Fournette is there. But down at the bottom, your guy, Tariq Cohen.
There he is.
A nice find for the Chicago Bears. And when I look at the Bears, I'm really excited about what they're able to do on offense.
And the receiving leaders, you see McCaffrey there at the very top of the list, followed by Evan Ingram, Kareem Hunt, Gerald Everett, Cooper Kupp, and Tariq Cohen shows up on the receiving board as well. Look at the sack leaders. Carl Lawson coming off a big game with a couple sacks. He's got 2.5. Dietrich Wise with 2.
How about Josh Jones?
The safety with 2 sacks for Green Bay. And T.J. Watt, who has missed a little time with 2 sacks. Interceptions. I mean, is there anybody surprised right here? Malik Hooker. That's all he does.
Natural center fielder, makes plays on the ball. As long as they had the opportunity to sit back in zone coverage, he's going to make a ton of plays as a center fielder.
All right, and then finally here, we look at the passing leaders from so far this season. And, look, there's only a couple guys up here, but Deshaun Watson has clearly been the best of the bunch.
He has been the best of the bunch. He does a really good job of making plays. Kaiser has also shown the ability to throw the ball. You would like to see Kaiser's completion percentage go up, and he has to cut down on the turnovers. 3-7 touchdown interception rate is not what you want. And Deshaun Watson, though, we've seen a calm, cool customer, a guy who really understands and thrives in the biggest moments.
Now, speaking of Deshaun Watson, I thought this would be a good time. Break down what we saw from him last week, Buck. I think we saw the poise that we raved about with him in the run-up to the draft. You saw it on this stage. The stage was not too big for him at all going into New England. Got a chance to beat a very good football team in the Patriots and overcame some mistakes early as well. So I think you saw the whole thing that you wanted to see from Watson. You saw him be successful. You saw him struggle, which we knew would happen, but then I saw him bounce back from that. So overall, I came away very impressed.
I was very impressed, and it comes down to the 3 P's for me. I saw the poise, I saw the playmaking, and I saw the production. This is a guy that has always been a player that's been very, very effective in big games, and this was a big start for him on the road against the defending Super Bowl champions, and he really handled it, had his team in a position to win games. In fact, you could argue that they should have won the game based on how he played. I think if you're the Houston Texans, you feel good about how your young quarterback is progressing.
Yeah, one thing he needs to work on, just protecting the ball inside the pocket. You saw Cassius Marsh get home, pop the ball out. You saw him force a couple footballs, which is – that's the normal thing you're going to see from the rookie quarterbacks. I just love the resiliency to hang in the pocket, work through your progression, and make big throws. Yeah, a couple boo-boos, interception here or there. You take a sack, you put the ball on the ground. But the way he bounced back, that was the most impressive thing.
It is the most impressive aspect because you want to see how people respond to adversity. He responded in an outstanding fashion. I think you can build upon that if you're the Houston Texans, particularly because you're going in a tough stretch in your schedule.
Yeah, look at this game. What do you think? Titans this week. Man, this is not an easy one.
No, it's not an easy one. It's a tough one because the Titans are running the football effectively. We saw them kind of bully the Seattle Seahawks. It's going to be tough. And, in fact, I'm leaning towards the Titans, but we'll see. I still got a couple days to make that final pick.
You got a couple days. I'm going to say watch out for Deshaun Watson as a runner in this game. Now, this is going to be a fun matchup of young quarterbacks we're going to see for a long time in this division. Marcus Mariota's playing good football. Deshaun Watson showing some signs. It's going to be fun to watch those guys go at it in this game. All right, Buck, let's transition to the college game now. And I love getting guests on here, but I really love it when we get one of the best, the very best players in college football, and that's what we got right now in Texas A&M's Christian Kirk.
Throws, has a man wide open, and that's Kirk. Kirk's going to score. 81 yards, and that just brought the Aggies to within a point. Be Kirk from the 1, 10, 20, 30 sideline. He's at the 50. He's turning on the Jets. 99 yards. Touchdown, Kirk. Bond throwing. Got a man. Is that a touchdown? It is touchdown, Texas A&M. Kirk caught it in OT.
Oh, those were fantastic radio calls, courtesy of Dave South from Learfield, as we welcome in one of the best wide receivers in college football, Texas A&M's Christian Kirk. Christian, was it enjoyable? I know it's fun to watch yourself and watch highlights. How about just listening to the radio calls of some of your big plays from that game?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, Dave South always does a great job, you know, with our games. And,
and calling those big time moments. So it's always fun, you know, especially after the game to hear those.
You know, Kirk, obviously we have a bit of a history. You were a two-time attendee of the opening. And so watching you from high school to watching you perform on this big stage, for you, did you think that you would be able to kind of make your mark on the college football landscape like you have thus far in your career?
You know, part of me, you know, always had confidence in myself to be able to, you know, come out on a stage like this and be able to have success and, you know, be a big-time player in this league. You know, it's all, you know, all credit to the hard work. But, you know, at the same time, you always got to have that feeling of, you know, it's just surreal to just have dreams, you know, growing up and watching guys before you, you know, come on this stage and make big time plays and to be able to go out there and do it yourself. It's always a blessing to think about.
Now, going through the opening, coming through high school, all everything recruit, but I've noticed in just studying your play at A&M, I see improvements you're making each and every year, and then even game to game, I'm seeing some of the different things that you're doing and adding to your game. What did you focus on this last offseason? What were you trying to get better at, and where are you trying to go from here?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the main things that I worked on the most was being able to identify coverages. I knew going into this season just from the coaches that I'd be seeing, you know, mainly, you know, a lot of double teams and, you know, just seeing a lot of different defenses, you know, especially on the back end with their coverages. So identifying defenses, you know, before the ball is snapped. And then, you know, you can always get better on your route running at the top of your routes, creating separation and whatnot. It really helped a lot. And, you know, something that, you know, I made a point of emphasis in the offseason.
You know, Kurt, you've had to play with, I would say, like a new quarterback, a young quarterback. Kellen Mond has come in. How challenging is it for you as a veteran to kind of break in a young quarterback that's still trying to find his way in the college game when you know that you're capable of making plays and sometimes he may not be able to get the ball to you because he's just not prepared?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely been some growing pains, you know, just, you know, look when you look back week one through three, you know, especially in the UCLA game, he got thrown into the fire after Nick Starkel went down and, you know, he had to grow up fast. And, you know, that's something you just got to be patient with. You know, I had to just learn to be patient, work with him, make sure I'm constantly communicating with him. And, you know, I can't expect every ball to be there. Can't expect every ball to be perfect. So that's more on me to get open for him and help him out and to make things easier, you know, on him. And just as a receiver group for us, we're always talking about making sure that we make things easier on him. And, you know, whenever the ball's in the air, you know, it should be our ball. It shouldn't be a 50-50 ball. It should be our ball every time. So just going out there and trying to make things, you know, easier on him.
Now, when we study on tape, Christian, we come up with a couple comparisons ourselves when you look at you and how you relate to guys already in the NFL. Is there a player that comes to mind for you when you look at a comparison, someone you watch on Sundays you try and model your game after?
You know, when it comes to guys that I watch a lot in the NFL, you know, we're blessed to have the type of resources where we can watch, you know, all the top receivers. Obviously, you know, Odell is a guy I watch a lot, Jarvis Landry, Stephon Diggs, guy more, you know, of my stature, same type of body build. But, you know, I still watch, you know, guys like Mike Evans who came through here and played and was an All-American here. I watch Julio Jones, you know, just the taller guys and try to pick pieces from each one of their games and try to put it within my game. So, you know, anything that I can grab that I think that will help me, you know, I always try to watch it and see what they do best.
The one of the guys that came to mind when I've watched you, I don't know how much you pay attention to Golden Tate and watch what he's done throughout his career, but Golden Tate, I kind of see that same. You have that kind of a running back build, and you have that strength, and you see that after the catch, but the quickness and the toughness that Golden Tate brings to the table. When I study you, I see kind of a Golden Tate, maybe with a little bit of a turbojet strapped to his back a little bit. That's what I see when I watch you. You pay any attention to what he's done in his career?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, he's an awesome player. Was really good at Notre Dame as well. I've always watched his highlights while he was there. And, you know, like you said, he's a physical guy. Will do anything that you ask him to do, and he's great after the catch. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I model my game after as well, is just being able to get those tough yards after the catch.
And thinking about the run after the catch, you are obviously a returner, a distinguished return man. How does that carry over when you're playing wide receiver? What are you able to take from your return skills to put into play when you have the ball in open field as a receiver?
Yeah, you know, especially when you're a returner, you know, the main thing is focusing on catching the ball first. And then, you know, once you catch the ball, you got to get your eyes down quick and be able to see the field and be able to hit the hole and see where the defenders are. And that's the same thing at a receiver. You know, you're focused on the ball the whole time, and you know, once you catch the ball and you get your eyes up, it's an instant where you have to make a guy miss or, you know, see where the open space is. So that definitely helps being able to have that vision and react to players coming after you, you know, after you catch the ball.
You know, it's interesting because you talked about your return ability and DJ compared you to Golden Tate. I saw a little Julian Edelman, and part of the reason I saw Julian Edelman is I believe you played with a little bit of an attitude. There's some feistiness to your game. Do you feel like you have a little bit of that in you when you play?
Oh, without a doubt. It gets me going, you know, especially when it's a physical game and, you know, you feel that contact. And that's part of the game. That's why I play the game, because it's physical. And, you know, I love it. You know, I played defense in high school, so it's fun to have, you know, that little bit of defensive mindset and being able to just, you know, like I said, play that physical game, and I love it.
Well, I could sit here and talk football with you all day. We got to jump to our 3H questions, though. This is what we ask to all the prospects when they're coming through during the draft. No, you're still in the middle of your college season here, Christian, but let's start off with your greatest highlight. What's been the greatest highlight in your athletic career?
You know, it has to be winning state championship in high school. I was, you know, fortunate to win three of them, my freshman, junior, and senior year. But had to have been my senior year, winning a state championship and going out and winning it with guys that I've played football with since peewee, since about, you know, third or fourth grade, and growing up with them. And then, you know, going out our senior year and winning a high school state championship was awesome.
What'd you do in that championship game, by the way? You remember?
Yeah, I did a lot. I'm pretty sure I had a kickoff return in that one. I think I ended with at least four or five touchdowns, and
it was just fun
to lead them to a state championship, and it was obviously one to remember.
Well, we often learn from our biggest hardships. What has been the greatest hardship, the greatest thing you've had to overcome?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it is challenging yourself to not try to live to expectation, not trying to live up to other people's expectation, and just, you know, going out there and play the game of football. I think nowadays, especially with how social media is and, you know, all the critique that's out there, you know, a lot of guys try to live up to, you know, what the media thinks of them, what other people thinks of them, instead of just going out there and playing the game, you know, for the reason why you started playing it, and just remembering why you play and just going out there and having fun. So I think, you know, that's something, you know, I got challenged with here and there, you know, within my career, is just, you know, trying not to play for somebody else and go out there and just play, you know, for your teammates and you know, for yourself.
I'll tell you what, this is a mature dude right here. All right, last one. Who is your hero, Christian?
It's got to be my dad, without a doubt. You know, just with the hard work and discipline that he instilled in me at an early age, you know, along with the help of my mom. But, you know, just seeing my dad and, you know, where he's come from and just how successful he's been able to be, you know, and attributes that all the hard work. And he's been tough on me, and he loves on me as well, but he's for sure my hero.
I'll tell you what, one of the most electric players in college football. Man, one of the best interviews we've ever had, too.
Absolutely.
Here. Christian, man, we've enjoyed getting to visit with you. We wish you and your team the best of luck down the stretch here or through the remainder of the season, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with you down the road.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bucky, we've done a lot of these. I don't know if I've been more impressed with a player than with Christian Kirk. What a mature guy.
Very mature. He's a pro. I mean, he checks off all the boxes that you look for when you're scouting in terms of what the intangible qualities you want in a young player that you bring it onto your squad. He has all that stuff. I mean, very impressive interview. I've known him since he was a high schooler. He's been the same since the day.
Now, you had him. You actually had him speak to the campers this
year.
Yeah,
so we had him come to the camp. He came to the opening this year. He and Calvin Ridley and a couple other guys spoke to the campers. And, look, he conveyed the same message. He is very serious and diligent about what he wants to accomplish as a player. And so I commend him for that. But I really commend him for the fact that he had a plan to graduate. He's probably going to graduate in 3 years. And so go in with a plan, work the plan, execute the plan. He's done that.
Yeah, no question. All right, we're going to get to our college picks here in just a second. But before we do, again, real quick, NFL Pick'em Show, that's Saturdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network, where we run through all the games. So all the different podcasts come together. It's a fun little show there, and we pick all the NFL games for the weekend. So you can check that out Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network. All right, Buck, let's get to these college games. Unfortunately, we have to show the standings and what that looks like here with you, myself, Kent and Sully, and Kent once again right at the tippy top of the list, 29-15. Sully 27-17. Bucky 26-18, although one of those 26 wins was you picking against your alma mater, something hey. I'll never do, and I'm down there in the bottom 23-21.
That's okay. You started.
It's not okay.
I'm just trying to be in pole position.
It's not.
I hate that they didn't put up my individual success for the week. I feel like that 9-2 thing should go up.
Yeah. 9-2 last week. Bravo. Golf clap.
Not like I was keeping up.
Golf clap. We're nicely done. All right, let's jump into the games we have. Oh, thank you very much back there. A little golf clap. Let's jump into this week's game, the two-pointer. We have Clemson going to Blacksburg to take on VaTech.
I mean, that normally would be a tough game. Sandman, they play a little different up there. They got a lunch pail and all that behind the bench. Guys are going. Team looks good. Fuentes has done a great job putting this team together, but I just think Clemson is too good. Too good at too many different key areas, too many playmakers. They get the win.
I think Virginia Tech hangs around for a long time in this game. I saw these teams match up in the ACC championship game last year, went and watched it, and they're very competitive. I think it's going to be a close game, but I do like Clemson to win it. I just think the Clemson defensive line, with what they can do, control that line of scrimmage, I think the score is going to be low. And look, Clemson just finds a way to get a couple big plays. That's all they're going to need.
That's all they're going to need. And the guy that we showed in the steals, Christian Wilkins, is a terrific player. He's very, very similar to me to Sheldon Richardson. When I watched Sheldon Richardson at Missouri, a guy that can play anywhere from the one technique all the way outside. He intrigues scouts. I can't wait to see what he does on a big game.
All right, so we went clean sweep. All four of us went with Clemson there. A huge game Friday night in the Palouse. USC, everybody's pointing to this as a trap game. On the road last week against Cal, come back on a short week, travel again on the road, and go up to the Palouse to take on a Washington State team that is 4-0, led by Luke Falk. This is a great quarterback matchup. This, there are going to be a zillion scouts at this one.
A million scouts will be at this one, but this is when I think we see the real USC show up. I know they had a tough game, a close game against Cal. I don't think that happens this Friday. I believe they go up there and they take care of business. They make life miserable for Luke Falk.
Everybody is calling for the upset in this one around the country. They're saying this is going to be like Oregon State used to be for this USC football team when they were rolling. They go up there on a Thursday night, it'd be wet and rainy and nasty in Corvallis, and they would have a stinker and lay an egg. I'm with you, though. I like USC to come out and play some good football. Kent says USC as well. Sully lone wolfing it with Wazoo.
Sully.
That's right.
He just picked Wazoo so he could use that drop.
Sully must.
That's correct.
The sole reason that he dropped that one.
I'm all in on Falk, guys.
He must know somebody. He must know somebody. He must know somebody at Wazoo. That's why he went
out. No. I swing
the sword with Leach. He's getting it done. Yeah, Friday night.
He's gonna throw the ball 80 times.
Yep.
All right. Let's keep it moving. Mississippi State 3-1 at Auburn. Auburn quietly 13th in the country right now, Buck. And you've got Nick Fitzgerald, all the hype coming into last week's game.
Came off because you hear that ching-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah, people jumping off the bandwagon.
All the people jumped off the bandwagon, but I'm not.
Whoa.
I'm going Mississippi State if I had the Cowbells. Cling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. I would go with it.
Yeah.
Mississippi State, lone wolf.
And by the way, when I saw Coach Harbaugh's comments about the locker room at Purdue, all I could think of was playing at Mississippi State and thinking that was worse than my high school locker room. I don't know. Maybe it's better now, but in circa
– I think they did upgrade Davis-Wade Stadium.
Circa late 90s, no bueno. I think they have a whole Mississippi State locker room.
They have a whole new facility there in one of the end zones, I
yeah,
think.
It was no good. Those Cowbells, I still hear those things.
Man, we played them in the Peach Bowl in the Georgia Dome. And if you can only imagine those Cowbells in a dome where it's bouncing off and ricocheting.
You caught a D ball in that game, didn't you?
I did catch D ball. We had some.
That's what right. I'm talking about. We lost a close game. That's my first college start at Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
Yeah, back in the day. We should have won the game, didn't win it. It's kind of the App State way right now, although I was with Northeast Louisiana back then. All right, let's go. How about this game? And hat tip to Kent here for reminding me. Miami at Duke, the crazy lateral game, huh?
That was crazy.
Let's do it again.
That's crazy. This is a tough game because Duke is a really, really solid team. They're not going to beat themselves. We don't really know what Miami is at this stage, but what we're going to do is we're going to bank on the talent in South Florida, and we're going to say that their talent overwhelms Duke. Close game, but I'm going to go with DU.
All right, we all went with Miami, clean sweep, and I think when you look at Mark Walton, one of the best running backs in the country.
Absolutely.
You know, Miami missed some time because of the hurricane, so we haven't heard
that's
much about
nice
the football team.
That's a nice uniform right there. And that Carolina blue.
That Carolina blue, yeah, Carolina blue. Nice actually, uniform. In the picture for those listening was a picture of somebody from Duke being chased by somebody from North Carolina.
We're not worried about that. Those are minor
details. We don't have to talk about that.
Minor detail.
Wow. Although, by the way, I know this is this is a football. We like to focus on the NFL and on college. But as a UNC basketball fan, man, everybody else around you is kind of following Louisville.
Yeah, everybody's following them around. Maybe. Might help us a little bit.
Yeah, there you
they
go.
Still have their own fish to fry.
They're saying that Tom Crean may get that job.
Why would he do that? He had to go through that whole mess.
Oh, here we go.
He's going to sign up for that again?
Louisville, that's a plum job.
College hoops talk plum here job. On Move the Sticks. What we call Move the Nets? What
cutting the nets.
Yeah, there you go. Let's get that going. All right, Georgia at Tennessee. Georgia 4-0 at the Fighting Sullies here. It's
Heartbreak Hotel because, see,
Is this a close game or no?
It's a close game, but I did the thing with Tennessee. I went out on a limb with it. Like the Florida game, they lost me. Look, the game is wrapped. I'm in the den. I'm like, oh, this is over. All you got to do is just back up. No deep balls. Don't let it fly over your head. They give it. So now they lost me.
You're off.
I'm off. Georgia.
I wanted to take Tennessee so bad, but every time I go in on Tennessee, they burn me.
Yeah, I got to let them go.
So I had to let them go. And I think Sully back there is just doing the pick the other team and hoping good luck.
Or not this time.
Or you really think Georgia's going
to dogs big.
Really?
Wow. Huge.
Wow. He wants Butch Jones fired. That's the only reason you do that. That's like that negative.
I'm not doing it. That Butch Jones is, I think, 0-11 at Tennessee against top 10 opponents. Tennessee hasn't won against a top 10 opponent.
It has to happen at some point.
Since 99.
It has to happen at some point.
An SEC opponent at home. Yes, it has to happen at some point, but
not this week.
Three linebackers out, two starting safeties out, Nick Chubb for 200 yards.
All right, let's go through the rest of these games real quick here. We've got Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and we are all on Oklahoma State to bounce back. We have Vanderbilt, Florida.
Defense.
And look, me and Bucky went Vandy. I don't know if we're crazy. Probably yes. Sully and Kent went with Florida. Florida State, Wake Forest.
This is a tough game for Florida State.
Florida State's going to be fine because App State beat up Wake Forest so bad last week.
Still winless Florida State.
Yeah,
right, they haven't got them. Yeah.
Memphis, UCF, great game this week.
That is a great game. How about Riley Ferguson? Let's say Riley Ferguson goes big. 450 yards
with
Riley.
I'm with you, Bucky. I'm with you, Fergie.
You and Sully both on them. Me and Kent are going to go with Scott Frost and the Knights here in Florida.
Frost going to play quarterback?
I'll tell you what. Let's do the score on this last one. Ole Miss at Alabama. Give me a score.
They're going to the shit.
How many picks does Shea Patterson
they're
have?
They're going to the woodshed.
Three?
I'm going to go 49-20.
No. I said the end of the game score.
No, 49-20.
No, not the half.
So you're saying – oh, you're saying – 49-20. Okay.
I don't think they're going, like, absolutely.
I'm going to say north of 50.
Wow.
Show of hands behind the glass, north of 50 for
Alabama.
Alabama score
50 points? I know they beat Vanderbilt. Come on.
Yes.
I got a couple hands raised up there.
Man, if it wasn't for the pride factor, I might – that almost makes me want to flip my pick. I'm not.
Really?
I'm not because I'm not an emotional – picker. However, I feel like y'all are being a little disrespectful.
Let's go. Chips inside the green room, which don't cost anything. So technically, this is not any kind of
okay.
A
chips
in the green room.
What is the line?
20, I'll give you 24.
24 points.
24 points. Well, chips in the green.
I got that. Now we're even throwing a Coke. We're throwing a Coke on that.
Okay. Cool.
And Shea Patterson throws for north of 400 yards against Alabama's defense.
Okay, I'll take both those.
28 points. They opened up at 28.
Oh, I love it. Come on, Shea.
Can you get me an antacid for next week? I'm going to need it. All those chips I'm going to be eating.
Shea Patterson.
Soda.
Shea Patterson.
Three picks.
Wake up point. Look, Chad Kelly can do it. Shea Patterson definitely can do it.
Hugh Freeze ain't walking through that door, Buck.
AJ Brown.
He's good.
It's an angry bunch. Alabama's not messing around. They're going to run the ball right down their throats. You saw what Cal did to Ole Miss.
I hope they run it quick so they can get the ball back.
This ain't going to work well. Hey, that's going to do it for us here today. Remember, all of our video content, NFL.com/MTSvideo, YouTube.com/NFL. You can find it all. Bucky's Notebook's got all kinds of goodies. We're giving you three episodes a week. That Sunday night episode's been a lot of fun, by the way.
That's been a lot of fun.
So
need more people to download. I need more people to subscribe to that.
We got to get more people on that. All right. Bucky's just made the call there. We'll get that done. All right. That's going to do it for us here. This has been Move the Sticks, presented by the Ford F-Series. Thanks for checking it out, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.